Well, welcome again. Today, the name of my talk is Remaining Awake. And I am actually speaking and talking about one of Martin Luther King's speeches that isn't as well known, even though he said it over the years. This one is his first version. It's Remaining Awake Through a Great Revolution. See, you guys know me, those who have been with me all this time. Yes, through a great revolution. Because, of course, what interesting timing, yes. Tomorrow we're celebrating Martin Luther King's birthday. The end of the week, we will be celebrating the inauguration of our new president. Many are delighted with this. And many are in fear. Either way, each side of the spectrum are working towards a revolution. And I've said this before, and people kind of look at me like, oh my God, I can't believe you're saying that. I'm actually happy this is happening. I've come to the point where I'm really pretty grateful for President-elect Donald Trump, because he is stirring the pot. The pot is being stirred and a lot of stuff is coming up, whether we agree with it or not. And actually, it is good because we are waking up. I believe the majority of us in society and in the world have been asleep. It's easy to fall asleep in this world. There's so much coming at us, so much heartbreak worldwide, of hunger, of violence. It's interesting, as I went back over this speech of his, very little has shifted from 1963 when he spoke this particular one that I read from Oberlin College at the graduation to now. Now, there has been great things that have happened. We have seen growth in our evolution of humanity. We have seen where we have gone beyond, and more people have civil liberties. On the other hand, the pendulum continues to swing, as we also see that other things have been asleep in our country. The isms, the phobias. And that's the stuff that's been churned and taken out of its slumber. Not necessarily its hibernation, because it's been active, but it's an underground. And now it's coming up. Why am I happy that it's coming up? So it can be healed. Amen. And so that we can now see how much we have been asleep during these times, not only in the world, but in our world, in our own personal lives. The conversation can't be just about something outside of ourselves. It starts within ourselves. So when we look at the speech that he has made, and that he did several times, we can also not only look outside of ourselves, but everything starts from within, from a consciousness, and moves out. I find it interesting, because we metaphysically interpret stuff here, right? And one of the ways that Charles Fillmore metaphysically interpreted things was actually by looking at the, for the Bible, the Greek or the Hebrew of the name of something. And he basically took that and then utilized it as an interpretation to be interpreted. So I found it interesting, even though Martin nor Luther are in the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, it's interesting the origins of both those names. Did you know that Martin, from its Latin base, means God of War? I know. From Martin Luther? Part of Mars, Martunus, is the Latin component of it. And so, yes, God of War. Luther. Luther is Latin. Soldier of the people. talk about a heavy name. God of war, soldier of the people, and he's a king. Metaphysically, now we're in the Fillmore metaphysics. King means the executive faculty in every man whose life is guided, governed, and directed by spirit. What a powerful name Martin Luther King is. For he went beyond the Martin component, the God of war, and preached and spoke upon things that were to be governed of peace. True, Luther is there. He is a soldier of the people, of all people. He started off with the civil rights, and it evolved from just the civil rights to, as he became more worldly, more global, to the rights of all. Because he saw that the same poverty, the same slavery, the same isms and phobias were around the world. And he fought against it. Charles Fillmore continues to write in regards to defining king. Who is the king? The center of consciousness. The I am. And the I am has power to extract justly as you have the courage to do. As you have the courage to assert your power. We must all step forth and assert all authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. If the central spark is like the divine, then we have all the power. Plainly put, if we allow ourselves to be ruled by spirit, to be opened by spirit, to allow spirit to allow us to move and to act through that, then we will have heaven here on earth. Everything will be done. And actually, this also says that we are supposed to be kings and queens. I add the queens. We are divine. We are majestic. And we will be able to have it all. But we have to stay awake. We have to wake up, actually, to the situations of the world. Wake up to the fact that, yes, we have the power to change the world, to create a revolution. Now, the revolution that I first spoke of seems to be one of fear. Continues to boil up no matter what side of the coin you're on. It just seems to be kind of a fire pit of fear, and a revolution is going to come. I'm talking about this revolution is going to make changes. What I see in people, we are tired of the way we are living. We're tired of the fear. We're tired of the heartache. We've been awakened to the truth that things that we thought were no longer here. I think President Obama for that, at least just his being, he walked in, everyone said, oh, racism isn't here. The United States are actually actualizing what we deemed that we were going to say, that we are a cauldron, we are a melting pot of all people coming here to live life and liberty and freedom for all. And bam, all of a sudden, we found out that we were divided, not coming together and unified. The divisions continued to come around us and within us. But it woke us up, didn't it? It really woke us up. We couldn't believe what we were seeing. We couldn't believe what we were hearing. We couldn't believe how we were treating not only our president and the family, but how we were treating other people. All of a sudden, fears of Muslims were coming. All of a sudden, it was erect. And rightly so. I mean, there's a lot of Muslims who are in fear of us. And what are they doing? They're trying to get their power. They're trying to do the thing so that what they deem the United States did wrongly to them won't happen again. It's this vicious circle of hate, and it has to stop. And the first thing that we need to do is remain awake through this great revolution. So he starts his story about Rip Van Winkle. How many of us remember the story, the youth story of Rip Van Winkle? And most of you remember how it was Rip Van Winkle. The main part of the story is that Rip Van Winkle went to sleep for 20 years and woke up. That's pretty much what I remember. Well, one of the things in the speech was that that was said was that when Rip Van Winkle, before he went up to the mountain, there was this hotel on the Hudson, by the way. And there was a picture of King George III on this inn. And so one of the last things that Rip Van Winkle saw before going up to the mountain and going to sleep was King George. And upon awaking and coming back down off the mountain, descending off the mountain, he went back to that inn, and lo and behold, he saw our first president, George Washington. And he looked at this picture befuddled because he didn't know who George Washington was. He slept through the whole revolution. He slept through it all and didn't know what was going on. Beloveds, aren't we kind of doing that? We're kind of just waking up to figuring out how we have all been bamboozled throughout the world, how we all have been sleeping. Now, again, thanks to the internet, thanks to social networks, we don't just get the information from the newspaper anymore. Yeah, I'm old enough to remember that most of our information came from the newspaper. You went to the newspaper to see the world. And then the TV came into play, and you did the newspaper, and you did the TV. And it still seemed like the world was out there. TV was the first part where you could actually see wars going on. You could be there all of a sudden. Well, thanks to social media, through the internet, through Facebook, through all of it. Yeah, you named it. I didn't hear you, but I'm sure you named it. Our world has become smaller. And that news that we had to wait hours for is instantaneous. Someone can be right on the front lines of something, and they're taping it. And they can do it live now on Facebook or YouTube. You're right there. Now, not only are we seeing things right in front of us, we also have the great part of social media is that we can make friends from around the world without leaving our homes. Myself, I don't know how. Somehow I have friends from all over the world, and it's great. I might not be able to read what you said, but it's wonderful that I have you as a friend. That is the great part. But we still... Even if we can see and touch, there's so many of us who still choose to live in fear, which keeps us isolated in the here and now, keeps us isolated in our homes, in our own city, not wanting to venture out. We have been asleep. He talks about, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King states, we want to be free. And so we see in our own world a revolution of rising expectations. The great challenge facing every individual today is to remain awake through this social evolution. This was 1963, and it's still relevant today. So there are several things that he suggests that I will give to you for all of us being able to stay awake. Stay awake in our own worlds, i.e. meaning our own lives, which then will translate to being able to stay awake and be proactive in the world at large. The first thing he says is, I'd like to say that we are challenged to achieve a world perspective. Anyone who feels that we can live in isolation today, anyone who feels that we can live without being concerned about other individuals and other nations is sleeping through a revolution. The world in which we live is geographically one. The great challenge now is to make it one in terms of brotherhood. Now, I have in my own sisterhood too. We are geographically one. How unity does that sound? We're geographically one. We are spiritually one. We just need to have a bigger consciousness. No longer stuck in what we seems familiar. No longer stuck in the wisdoms or the world views of today in our own backyard. We have to have an expanded view, not just of Albany, not just of the state of New York, an expanded view of the world. Thank God we're in Albany where it's so diverse, where we can get a little taste of diversity here and there. I ask you to start there. Start venturing out, getting to know a variety of different people and their cultures, getting a global view, seeing the differences, and seeing how even with the differences, we are more alike than not. I have been blessed to be able to meet a diverse group of people, to hang out with a diverse group of people. And in doing that, each and every time, yes, I thrive in what I don't know about their cultures and what is different. But the end result, once I get that global view, is that it becomes clearer and clearer and clearer. We all want the same things. We all want the same things. I don't care the color of your skin. I don't care what country you come from. I don't care about your sexual orientation, any of it. We all want and need the same thing. The basics of what we all need is love, to be loved, to give love. The basics of what we need are shelter, a place to live that is safe, protected. And we need food, community. These are the basics. That's what we all thrive on. That is our humanness. That is our humanity. We need to expand our consciousness. He continues. He says, Dr. Martin Luther King, that all mankind is tied together. All life is interrelated. I love this. Let me slow down on this one. That all mankind is tied together. All life is interrelated, and we are all caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. That's true, it's beautiful, it's poetic. All life is interrelated, and we are all caught in an inescapable, we can't escape it, an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Brothers, sisters, we are all one. We need to take away our thoughts of otherness and that, and embrace the truth that we are all individualized expressions of God. All individual, beautiful, individualized expressions of God. Expand your consciousness for global thinking. Secondly, he goes on to say that we are challenged to work passionately to get rid of racial injustice in all its dimensions. Anyone who feels that our nation can survive half segregated and half integrated is sleeping through a revolution. The challenge before us today is to develop a coalition of consciousness and get rid of these problems that have been one nagging us, nagging ills of our nation over the years. First one, expanded consciousness. Two, get rid of your isms and phobias. Just because I might not be like you, I might not have been raised like you, doesn't mean that I'm right or wrong. It just means I'm different. Move in. Get to know. Get to experience. Broaden your horizons. Broaden yourself. Broaden your consciousness. That's the one thing that he continues to point out in here. Shifting your mind. Broaden your consciousness. He goes, now there's another problem facing us that we must deal with if we are to remain awake through a social revolution. We must get rid of violence, hatred, and war. Anyone who feels that the problem of mankind can be solved through violence is sleeping through a revolution. Beloveds, how many more centuries, how many more lifetimes do we have to go repeating the same thoughts? How many times do we have to continue repeating the warring within ourselves, within our thoughts, battling within ourselves, battling the hatreds within ourselves, and manifesting that in our world. How many times do we have to continue to stay in a place locked in a consciousness that continues to repeat itself? The revolution that I'm referring to is not the one of hatred, not the one of separation, not the one that we continue to seem to go through in this world, but the one that Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King continued to preach and speak about, the one he gave his life to and for. It's a revolution. Revolution can be the rotation of the planet around the sun. Yeah, let's get it together with each and every rotation. Don't allow the rotation to lullaby us to sleep. It could be a drastic shift taking over the government. I kind of like that. I don't care what president it has been. Taking over the government so it's more about love and more about the people. Amen. More about each and every one of us. Living in happiness, joy, love, and safety without fear. But it's definitely, whichever one, it's about a change. I see a change. I see a great change. The revolution I'm talking about is a great change, a great shift. Thankful that all this stuff has come up so it can be healed, so that now we can act. We can act to make sure that it's a win-win for all. I don't want to get Covey on you guys. I grew up on Covey, but it's a win-win situation. And a win-win is doable. Only if you shift your consciousness to believe that a win-win is possible. I know there's too many times that we think, oh, we march out of unity. Unity's so good, it's so uplifting. And we get into the world, it's like, forget that stuff. The world is kind of ucky. You come up with an open heart and you get slapped. And you shift your mind. Change it back again. Each and every one of us create the world we want to live in. Each and every one of us are the starting point to creating a world that is great for all. It's a matter of stepping in, being the kings, being the queens, and I'm not talking about just kind of the wave. No, I'm talking about stepping in to the executive position, that position that takes action, that is following God's will of good. We are the hands of God's will of good. We are the hearts of God's will of good. We're the mouth. We are the actions. Let us start being that like Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King did. You know, he didn't really want this position. I don't know if many people know that. He was asked several times before he kind of agreed. He kind of was like pushed and thrust into it. How many of us are like that? We know we want a greater life. We know we can have a greater life, but we're too scared to actualize it, to move into it, to express it, to do something about it because we're scared. We're scared of the change. We're scared of creating and doing something that we're not used to, that the world isn't used to. We're scared of being called silly or stupid. We're scared of a lot of things. And I say, stop being scared. Allow the goodness and the joy and the love of God to move you. Not the thoughts and the wisdom of the world, but the movement of spirit within your heart and your mind, and allowing your heart and mind to come together as one. That, my dear, is the heart and the mind coming as one, is the spiritual marriage. In the Bible, we know that that any male character is the intellect, any female character is the heart. And when it's a blended, wonderful marriage, just as we went through with Mary and God, planting the perfect seed, then we have greatness that comes out. The male and the female components, the mind and the heart within you, can form a beautiful divine marriage which will bring forth beauty and joy and greatness, heaven here on earth. But it's up to each and every one of us. One of the closing statements from Dr. Martin Luther King was, "All that I've said is that we must work for peace, for racial justice, for economic justice, and for brotherhood the world over. We have inherited a big house, a great world house in which we have to live together, black and white. Easterners and Westerners, Gentiles and Jews, Protestants and Catholics, Muslims and Hindus. If we all learn to do this, we, in a real sense, will remain awake through a great revolution. So I invite us all to do that. My parting words to you are from Charles Fillmore, Final Definition of King. We are here as the king. We say to our true thoughts, come inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then all is ours. There is no limit. We ask what we will, and it is done unto us. All good that we can conceive of is now ours. Is there evidence of the oak in the acorn? No, but there is a pattern of an oak there. And this pattern or image is what makes the tree. The image in mind makes the conditions. Change your consciousness. Change your ways. Change the thought from the reality of what you see on TV. Change your thoughts of what the possibilities are. I'm telling you that we are all here. I keep hearing, we're heaven. Well, let's do it. Let's do it here and now. Let's change our consciousness and not just see what we see as fact, but see the truth that God implants with us. And allow us to now manifest being the majesty, being the kings and queens that we are. Change our consciousness to manifest a greater world. Stay awake, not just for this great revolution, but to create this great revolution. So join me in your bulletins. There's an affirmation is up here as well. And as we go through this week, as we go forward for the for welcoming our new president, as we go forward, continuing bringing up all these things, an affirmation to help us. Let's say it together. All things are working together for good, and I am working with them in the wisdom and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, God. Namaste.